Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, where you get the muck. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, this is hilarious. We're going to have a legislative update here this hour of this show. Anyway, we got coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we've got Representative Braxton Mitchell out of Columbia Falls, a great young lawmaker. He's not the youngest legislator anymore, though, you know. So all grown up. Heck, man, that guy was, he was getting good things done even when he was, I think, the youngest member of the legislature. But we're going to talk with Braxton Mitchell here in a few minutes about some of the successful bills he's getting across the finish line. And then after that, Montana's Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear out of Savage. He'll be with us to give us an update, especially as we're really coming down to the wire now in Helena at the Capitol. But this is hilarious. I just during the break there, I thought I better check in on X, you know, to see what see if there's any new news out there, because I did my whole round of show prep earlier this morning, but I thought, I'm going to go check in, see if there's anything new. And I see this funny tweet here from Darren Gobb. Darren Gobb's joined us on the show before. He's got Restore Liberty, kind of a national security think tank. He's been on Fox News. He's also been here on Montana Talks. He's got that Montana Sentinel website, which has been exposing, you know, state Senate Democrats like Cora Newman, who's been bragging about how she's been pulling the wool over the eyes of some of the Republican legislators. But he just sent this out via X about 25 minutes ago. Montana's state senator Ellie Boldman from Missoula. Is she drunk, high, or both? What is she even saying here? I just gave it a quick listen, and it's like, hey, she even gave little old me a shout-out on the floor of the state Senate. Well, let's see if it'll play for us here.
Senator Boldman.
Members of the body. Sometimes I'm not as, diplomatic or politically correct as my Democratic colleagues, and maybe not as serious sometimes.
Then he's got the photo of her. You remember when she was busted driving drunk?
I guess that's why I want to just point out something this bill that to me just is just goofy as heck. Okay? I was listening to the Aaron Flint show this morning.
Please refrain from using proper names on the floor.
Conservative talk radio. The wording of the bill actually does something that every single one of us parents knows is goofy, and for all of us. So let me give you an example in first grade. Ellie Smelly. Smelly Ellie Jelly Belly, Chris Piss with my brother.
Hey, watch language on the floor.
But we all know it, Fat Pat. Sue Poo. All right? This is goofy as hell.
Oh, my goodness.
Please watch your language on the floor.
It's goofy as H-E double toothpick.
What is she
it's just
doing
goofy
here? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, anyway, there you go. Just random stuff that catches your eye during the news break there. I appreciate the shout-out, though. I wish the chair would have let her keep ranting and raving about this show, though. That would have been fun to listen to.
It's April 16th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Librarian Day. We celebrate the keepers of the books. They don't just shelve and reshelf. Librarians play a larger role not always seen, like teaching literacy classes and hosting child story times. And please, mind the due date. Also on this date, in 1972, First Lady Patricia Nixon was at dinner with President Nixon in Beijing, where she told the Chinese premier that she liked pandas. A few months later, the Chinese premier sent the U.S. two giant pandas, Ling Ling and Xing Xing. They lived at the Smithsonian's National Zoo. The Rolling Stones released their self-titled debut album in the U.K. in 1964. It was at the top of the charts there for 3 months, and Harriet Quimby became the first woman to fly across the English Channel in 1912. I'm CJ Papa, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let her speak. I wonder if they're going to let State Senator Ellie Boldman speak at the big Bernie Sanders AOC event in Missoula later today. Yeah, that's hilarious. I didn't even know that that Ellie had given a shout out to the show on the floor of the State Senate there. And it looked like she was in the middle of talking about House Bill 400. Which, oddly enough, we're going to be talking about House Bill 400 with Representative Braxton Mitchell here in just a few minutes. So maybe Braxton saw her floor remarks, if he could comprehend her floor remarks, of course, and he can tell us what she was talking about. But I just get a kick out of that because it's just yet another reminder, even the Democrats, even the liberals in Montana, absolutely love, well, they love to hate sometimes, listening to talk radio and shows like this because they know how effective it is. They know how powerful it is. I remember there was a Democrat candidate for the legislature in Great Falls. And she was always on Twitter at the time. Now it's X, of course. She was always complaining, man, I'm going door to door and I'm talking to people all over Great Falls. And, you know, all they keep telling me is, well, what they heard on Aaron Flint's show and what they heard on talk radio. And that's why they, you know, and, you know, because they support Trump. And then they hear this about the Democrats and then they hear that about it. And so she's like, yeah, everybody, every door I go to in Great Falls, they're just talking about what they hear on Aaron Flint showing on talk radio. And it's like, well, that's because, like, not only do I get to talk, but you get to talk. Everyday people get to talk. And when everyday people start talking, they start to realize, like, wow, most of what we read in the rest of the media is a bunch of fake news propaganda. It's a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of BS. And so this is a show where if you think that what I'm saying is a bunch of garbage and a bunch of BS, well, you can call in and say why you disagree, or you can call in and say why you agree. In fact, we're going to have open phone lines coming up later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But we do have phone lines open right now as well. So let's go to, I think, who do we got here? I think it's Clint in Bozeman. Yeah, Clint in Bozeman. Good to hear from you, Clint. What's going on?
Well, what's going on, Aaron, you're talking about it, the legislature and what they're doing over there. And I called Legislative Services, and they told me that there was an excess of 1,500 bills introduced this year so far. And it's about to end now. The legislature is about to end. But the question I want to ask everybody out there, how can 25 or 30 people in each committee do justice to 1,500 bills? How many of them bills can they actually do, you know, I mean, and look at and decide and stuff like that? And I think that's one of the reasons why that the legislature is the way it is. It's kind of a mess, as far as I'm concerned. You know, what do you think, Aaron?
Well, right now, I would agree with you, and I would bet legislative leadership might agree with you as well. I mean, you know, we're going to have the Speaker of the House on here in another 20, 25 minutes or so. And, you know, the I guess the first thing that I want to throw to him is, man, everybody I'm talking to is saying, they're saying, what the heck is going on in Helena? What,
yeah.
Just like what you just said right now, random people on the street are saying, man, what a mess in Helena. What are they going to get their act together here before the end of the session? Because when I think of the big three, property tax relief, income tax relief, and judicial reform, and we're still waiting for all three on the big three, and it doesn't look like there's a clear end game in sight on any of those three right now.
Well, I'll tell you something, Aaron. My friend Bill Babcock was the governor of the state of Montana, as you know. And he told me when himself and another legislator or senator from Red Lodge created the legislative services. And he told me it was the worst thing he ever done. And they started out with an $80,000 account to draw on for whatever. And the reason they done it was to try to get bills that were constitutional. Well, later him and I were talking about it, and he said, we should have let the legislators and the courts decide it, and then it wouldn't have tied up the legislature so much as trying to make all the bills that they were going to write constitutional.
Well,
so I agree with you.
And what you also get is you get where you get basically, unelected employees,
yeah,
that almost get more power or too much power over the elected lawmakers. I mean, that's why I really think that we need, and I brought this up when we had Senate President Matt Regeer on the show, or maybe it was the attorney that was doing some practically pro bono work for the state party, that I believe our legislative leadership, and I would say the same can go for the Democrats and the Republicans here, they deserve to have their own staff that works for them, that truly has their interest. And say good things or bad things, whatever you want about legislative services. I just think that we, the people, elect these leaders. They should have professional staff that serve them. They should have a professional, just like the governor has his own general counsel that's looking out for, you know, the interest and the agenda that he got elected to carry out. I think our legislative leaders should have those same types of professional staff. They've got some staff, many during the legislative session, but then only maybe, what, one or two outside of the session? This there doing the day-to-day, all the interim stuff, and I think that's one category that if we want the people's legislature and not unelected people running this government, then we need to empower our elected officials more. Totally agree on that front. All right, Representative Mitchell, right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Take two pills and call me in the morning. If I'm in the solution to housing affordability, we're as easy as doctor's advice to fighting off an ailment. At least the doctor can usually count on the human body's natural immune system to do the heavy lifting to get you back to health. In the case of housing markets in the most stressed areas of the state, market forces don't work in the same way. And in terms of affordability, the patient remains sick. Housing markets in places like Bozeman and Kalispell have changed since the COVID-induced changes in demand pushed prices and rents up dramatically. Demand is cool, population growth has throttled back, and the super high prices have done their bit as well. The supply response, particularly in new multifamily housing coming online in the rental markets, was strong, especially in the year or so before interest rates rose. But none of these things have moved the needle in getting prices and rents back down. Far from it. Better local policies would help. There's also inflation in building materials, which, it must be said, tariffs will make much worse. I'm Patrick Box.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research. Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Do you feel like you're spending too much for your cell phone plan? Well, a lot of plans from major wireless providers can be rather costly, but there are things you can do to lower the expense. In terms of unlimited data plans, you need to ask yourself if you actually need to use that much data per month. Whether you're shopping for a phone plan at a new company or sticking with your current provider, opting for a plan with limited high-speed data is a great way to save. And perhaps consider a mobile virtual network operator like Mint Mobile or Visible, which both offer cheaper plans by operating on the networks of larger carriers. And it might seem like you'll be paying a hefty price for multiple lines. However, with many plans, you'll get a significant discount for having two or more lines for family plans. And check to see if you qualify for additional discounts. Many major wireless providers may offer special deals for members of the military, teachers, and seniors, and there might be discounts available through your employer. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, that was so funny, that montage, that mashup of State Senator Ellie Boldman. I've always gotten along with Senator Boldman. It used to be known as State Senator Ellie Hill, but Ellie Boldman now. You know, and she's willing to at least, you know, take some stances to break from the mob on the other side of the aisle at times. But, yeah, after remember when Tampon Tim Walz came to Helena? You know, Tinsel Toes Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, who was Kamala Harris's running mate. The Democrats made him their keynote speaker for their Mansfield-Metcalf dinner. And either it was either she had too much fun at the event or not enough fun either. It was that bad of an event. But either way, yeah, she was passed out in the middle of an intersection, in the middle of the road, and then ended up getting a DUI in Helena. And it's just amazing how, like, if that was a Republican, oh my goodness, we would still be hearing that. If that were a Republican, they would probably no longer be serving in the legislature because they would have gotten shamed out of Helena. But, you know, very quickly, the liberal media in Helena just said, okay, nothing to see here, folks. Move along, move along. It was the street cleanup in Helena, kind of like the riverbank cleanup in Missoula yesterday. We'll talk more about here coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But if ever there, you knew it was going to come at some point, but if ever there was an opportunity for Republicans to say, are you drunk? It was certainly the remarks that we just shared from Senator Ellie Boldman speaking on the Senate floor against House Bill 400. The sponsor of that legislation, by the way, now with us on the show, Representative Braxton Mitchell out of Columbia Falls. Representative Mitchell, great to have you back on the show. Before we get to House Bill 400, man, you're getting some other good bills across the finish line, and let's start with some of that. In fact, the NRA just touting a measure by you to prevent these anti-gun so-called red flag laws. You've got a measure that's now headed to the governor.
Yes, we currently don't have any red flag laws on the books in this state, but what we saw during the Biden administration, during their tyrannical, overreaching, authoritarian administration, what they tried to do is they tried to push for local governments through federal grants to enact red flag gun laws. And so I saw that during the interim and figured, hey, let's put some on the books in case we get cursed with another progressive administration at the federal level. So we got the sucker passed I think it was Tuesday, and it's now heading to the governor. And, yeah, just this morning the NRA was pushing it, so pretty cool to see.
Yeah, well, congratulations. Great job on that front. It's always good to highlight the good stuff that is getting across the finish line, because I know a lot of us, you included, are frustrated with what we're not seeing so far out of the legislature. So it's good to highlight the good stuff that is making it across the finish line. DUI laws, strengthening our DUI laws. I know you've had some heartbreaking cases back home in the Flathead in particular that's inspired you to try to just strengthen the way we combat DUIs in this state.
Yeah, so the main one I'm working on, so I grew up with a young man named Bobby DeBree. He was a couple years younger than I was, actually just grew up just down the road from me. Unfortunately, last session, actually on his 21st birthday, he was being responsible, was not driving after, you know, celebrating his 21st birthday, and was leaving a bar with a couple of friends and was struck while crossing the road by a drunk driver. And this driver was not just 0.08, which is the legal limit. He was 0.1. He was over 0.16. I think he was 0.20 to be specific. So the guy was in the aggravated state, which means you're more than double the legal limit. And the guy only got 18 months, which is just unfathomable in my opinion. And so what we're doing is we're creating an aggravated vehicular homicide statute. A lot of states currently have this. Obviously, Montana, we lack in a lot of just different DUI laws in general. So let's create an aggravated vehicular homicide statute. At a minimum, you would serve 3 years, at a maximum 30 years. An imposition of that sentence cannot be deferred, meaning a court cannot delay or suspend the sentencing. So this would create a mandatory minimum sentence. But I think if you kill somebody, I don't think that you should be getting off the hook for that. So 18 months isn't enough. Do I think three is enough? No, not necessarily. But again, the max could be upwards of 30 years. And then the other DUI bill actually just passed the House on concurrence yesterday. You would think this would be on the books already, but it would make it so you can't drive on LSD, PCP, heroin, fentanyl, meth. You would think, you would think it'd be illegal, but now we're saying, hey, if you're driving on dangerous drugs, that, that's not going to be tolerated anymore in this state.
Yeah, well, great work. Yeah, I remember that heartbreaking case in particular and the slap on the wrist, and a lot of folks were just outraged by that. So it's good to see you doing something about it. I know our left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court has been undermining some DUI laws. So that's another reason why we need to focus on getting better Supreme Court justices elected here heading into 2026 as well, if you ask me. And it's for these types of issues as well. All right, well, let's go to House Bill 400. Do you even know what Ellie Boldman was trying to say in opposition to your bill, House Bill 400? The reason I wanted to get you on the show is because the liberal media was totally spinning what the bill actually does. They were trying to make it sound like it was some sort of anti-teacher bill. Oh, this bill prevents teachers from punishing kids who use the wrong pronouns. And it's like, no, actually the bill protects teachers as well. It protects teachers and kids from being bullied by these left-wing, LGBTQ woke activists who try to bully little kids and try to bully teachers into playing the woke pronoun game.
Yeah, no, I agree 110%. This also would apply to state employees also. And I think the voters spoke well and clear in November, not just in Montana, but across the country, and they rejected this ideology at the ballot box. Parents are fed up, students are confused, and taxpayers are done, I think, funding these woke experiments in public institutions. And this bill, if signed by the governor, will put a stop to it and reaffirms that free speech and biological truth still matter in this state.
Yeah, and we've seen cases elsewhere across the country where, like, little third-grade kids get punished because they happen to use, a pronoun. Because a little kid sees a little boy and sees a little boy. A little kid sees a little girl and sees a little girl. But they want to punish little kids, and they want to bully little kids for not playing the pronoun game. It is so absurd.
Yeah, I mean, it's just craziness. I mean, I'm 24 now. I mean, when I was going to school, this was kind of, you kind of saw this kind of start. But I can't imagine being a kid growing up nowadays. I mean, everybody, when they were younger, they were a tomboy or a tomgirl at one point. And nowadays, if you show any sign of being a tomboy or a tomgirl, the woke left, tries to, make you feel like you're actually the opposite sex when you're just a kid being a kid. And unfortunately, in today's woke culture, kids can't be kids anymore, and they try to force this ideology down their throats. And so hopefully this bill sends a message, and hopefully, again, helps put a stop to this stuff in Montana.
Yeah, and the bigger picture is federal courts have already ruled in support of what you're talking about right now and what you're doing with House Bill 400. And by the way, this bill's headed to the governor now, right? Am I not mistaken on that?
Yep, this is heading to the governor, and yeah, from the East Coast to the West Coast, courts across the country have stood up for compelled speech, and the First Amendment, and so hopefully the Montana Supreme Court isn't the one outlier in this country, but you never know with our woke court.
Yeah, and the bigger picture here is, of course, is that, look, when it comes to free speech and our First Amendment rights, obviously I do a talk radio show where anybody across Montana can call in, so this is something we feel very passionately about, is free speech and the ability for everyday people to be able to speak up. Free speech isn't just about allowing you to say what you want to say. It's not just about the freedom of the press. It's not just about the freedom of the religion. Freedom of speech is also about not being forced to say something you don't want to say, especially something that violates deeply held beliefs.
Yeah, no, 100%. I wouldn't even say deeply held beliefs, you know, just simply biological truth and reality. And unfortunately, we're moving away from that as a society. And hopefully this bill, you know, protects, you know, people's ability to acknowledge truth. And that's what it comes down to.
24 years old, do you feel like the old man in the legislature now?
Yeah, I guess we do have Representative Lucas Schubert down here. He's 19. I guess in my third term here, when I first came in, I was 20. We had a younger person, and then my second session, I was the youngest then again. But, yeah, I definitely feel a lot older up here now, that's for sure. Definitely kind of learned the ropes and process, how things work. But, you know, it's been really fun serving, and it's crazy to think that could be going into my we'll be going into my final term here in the House next session. So,
well, great job as always, Representative Braxton Mitchell of Columbia Falls. We got Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr coming up next, and you know, a lot of people are concerned that the big three aren't going to get done before the big deadline. We're talking income tax relief, property tax relief, judicial reform. How concerned are you that the big three may not get across the finish line?
Yeah, well, we got some forms of judicial reform. I know the speaker who you're about to hear from, he does have a bill in the Senate, an income tax bill, and there is one that crossed over from Senator Yakovich out of your neck of the woods there in Billings. I mean, we'll see. Property tax, I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of political games being played. You know, the voters spoke well and clear on a lot of these, you know, issues we were just talking about, but at the end of the day, you know, voters are voting with their wallet, and unfortunately, you know, folks have been taxed out of their homes. And unfortunately, we have groups in this, we have different factions, I guess I should say, of our party that could care less and just are rather here to play political games and side with the Democrats on almost every single issue that actually matters to Montanans and matters to our voters and matters to especially to Republican voters. And so, you know, the clock's ticking. We only have a few more days left in this legislative session, and hopefully we can get some form of property tax relief through, whether it's Senate Bill 90. Or other proposals, but I guess we'll just have to continue to see. I don't have too much hope with the other games that have been going on here in Helena this session, but again, at the end of the day, voters send a clear message that they want long-term property tax relief and not just a simple one-time rebate. So
that's right.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, Representative Braxton Mitchell, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Great job in Helena, as always. Quick break. Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr out of Savage joining us for a legislative update as well.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, wait till the 9 o'clock hour. I kicked off the 8 o'clock hour by sharing that hilarious video Darren Gobb just put out on X about an hour ago featuring Democrat State Senator Ellie Boldman out of Missoula. But speaking of Missoula, you know, high wind warning in effect for later today for Missoula when the two blowhards roll into town. Credit to Jake and Billings for that line. Yeah, they're actually concerned about high winds and high wind gusts in Missoula later today. And that's when Bernie Sanders and AOC are doing their rally at the Adams Center in Missoula. But wait till you hear the story about the cleanup on the river. And then I got a great response to that story from Darren Gobb on X just a few minutes ago as well. So I'll share that with you coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's jump right into it, though. We've got Montana's Speaker of the House, Brandon Lehr out of Savage, now with us. Mr. Speaker, good to have you on the show. Thanks for freeing up some time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Aaron.
Yeah. So, I got to be honest. I'm sure you're frustrated. A lot of people that I'm running to, just, you know, out on the street, out on the town, they're all saying, "What is going on in Helena? What the heck? What a mess!" You know, when it comes to the big three across the board, income tax relief, property tax relief, judicial reform, what's going on? The clock's ticking.
Well, we're working on income tax. That's over in the Senate right now. And we have, that's only got one more hurdle to get through. It should come out of committee today. And we'll have, that's House Bill 337. We'll have that one hopefully pushed across. Property taxes, we're still working on two different proposals there. I'm trying to make some headway, to see what we can get done, on that front. And the judicial reform has been, yes, it's been a disappointment, but we're still, you know, up here, I guess. We're trying to keep thinking and keep moving and trying to find a way to, you know, shove a little bit more judicial reform in, especially partisan judges, before we leave. The options are getting limited, but we're still hunting and looking and trying to figure out a way.
Yeah, I know a lot of the attention in the state Senate's been on the nine Republicans that have been voting with the Democrats from time to time, especially when it comes to rules and key committee assignments. And now we read they're working with the Democrats on conference committee assignments as well. But there's a handful of House Republicans that seem to consistently be voting against the rest of their caucus as well. How do you deal with that? Did we lose? I think you might have pressed the wrong button there. Or maybe that was the answer to the question. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I think he might have hit the wrong button there. So, Caden, check in with Speaker Lear's team. That's probably him calling right back in right there. 294-0970. If you need the number right in front of you once again there. But that's the challenge, is like, how do you deal with you know, a handful of people that it seemed like are consistently voting against their fellow caucus members? All right, the speaker's now back with us there. All right, Speaker Lear, thanks for calling back in. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I apologize, Aaron, for that. But no, I mean, there's so many different views in this Republican Party, and you just have to try to figure out how to get done what you can get done in, you know, you gotta have 51. You know, and so we just try to work within that 51, 26, and 1. Sometimes you can get all 58 of us on board, and I think in the House we've hung 58 on a lot of different bills. Sure, judicial reform is a tough one, and we'd all love that. But I've got, you know, people in my caucus that, you know, just don't want to go there. And we're working, we're trying to figure out solutions for that. But, I mean, they're representing their constituents, and, you know, I may not always agree with them, but, you know, they're up here and elected the same way I am.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing, too, is like, okay, I get it if they're saying they don't want partisan elections at the district court level, but it seems like, what was it? Was it Lou Jones or who had the proposal to at least allow for somebody to run with party affiliation in the state Supreme Court races? And because, I mean, heck, if you're from Plentywood, Montana, I will guarantee you your constituents support judicial reform because, you know, Eastern Montana constantly gets screwed over by these far left justices.
No, and I don't disagree with you there. And no, I mean, that's what we're boiling it down to right now, is it's going to have to be a may instead of a shall. And I think that that's, you know, where it is right now. I mean, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but when our newly elected Supreme Court, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, got up and said, don't do it, that didn't help us either.
Yeah.
Because then there was a pile of people that fell off. And I'm not meaning to throw anybody under the bus, but that sure didn't help our cause up here, you know, 2 weeks into session, him saying that.
Yeah, and I don't think he needed to say that. I get what he's doing. He's trying to work by, with, and through, and trying to bring some of those Supreme Court justices to some sense of fairness. And so he's trying to work with them. But I think, you know, put a pin on the calendar for 1 year from today, he's going to realize that these people are too far gone and they just need to be gone with new replacements instead, that there is no convincing these people because they don't care. They're just far left activists. Back to income tax relief. I mean, to me, the easiest thing that Republicans have always been able to unite around is across the board income tax relief. That's why I like the governor's proposal. I don't like the Yakovitch bill because to me, that's more of a Democrat bill. That's more class warfare. But it sounds like you've got a proposal that could effectively, you know, that is kind of like a compromise in between the two, where it starts with targeted income tax relief, but you've got a trigger that will eventually, you know, soon lead to across the board relief as well.
Yeah, and so in House Bill 337, it kind of puts the Yakovitch's bill, and it raises the bottom threshold of the 4.7 income tax rate up. We the income you can earn and still fall into that rate, you know, three or four folds. And then on the top end, it goes from 5.9 down to 5.4. And then that way, we're consistently working ourselves towards that flat rate of 4.7.
Yeah.
Then once you get to that flat rate, it's so hard to raise income taxes because you're raising it on everybody, not just one class. And that's even with, you know, certain property tax proposals we talk about up here is that, you know, I mean, we don't want to have five different property tax rates, you know, one for up to 100,000, one for up to 500,000, one to 700,000, one to 1.5 million, and then one for anything above 1.5 million. We don't want to make it a crime to be rich in this state, or, you know, to be well off.
Or just to have a house that's worth a lot of money, because a lot of people, when they bought that house, it wasn't worth near that, and so they're not rich, but they're getting taxed like they are.
You get downtown, you know, Bozeman or anywhere in Gallatin County or Missoula County or Flathead County, you bought a house 50 years ago for, you know, $50,000, and now it's worth $1 million. And, you know, that's all unrealized gains, too. So, I mean, we want to make sure that it's a fair tax and that we're trying to capture, you know, to me personally, I still like capturing the out-of-state homeowner, the people that aren't paying income tax but still using services in the state. So that's my preferred method. And I know there's another proposal that has the, you know, tiered system in it. And, you know, we'll just kind of see what the body decides.
Let's see. Well, first off, how long do you want to join us? Do you want to join us all the way until the end of the hour, or do you got to run here in a few minutes?
I can stay for another 13 minutes, I guess.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. Yeah, because we have a break coming up here in a couple of minutes. So, because I definitely want to give you a chance to talk about, you know, anything you want to talk about as well. But I wanted to ask you about the budget and spending. Even the governor said that the spending bills that appear to have the traction in the legislature right now are spending too much. They're spending even more than what he proposed in his budget. And then there's some people out there who said his budget spends too much. So what's your advice for constituents out here who need to contact their lawmakers? What do they tell their lawmakers? Is there an alternative spending bill to support?
Stop spending altogether.
Yeah, just knock it off. Just go, whoa, yeah. Hold your horses.
Yeah. The governor had a budget that stayed within inflation. And through the appropriations process, there was a few things that got in there that did raise the budget. And so... Yeah, I mean, it is bigger than the governor's proposed budget. And we've passed so many spending bills up here, it isn't funny. I don't know what the last figure was, but we're roughly $1 billion overspent. And so through the governor's veto process, through, you know, the appropriations process, and when the bill's transmitted on whether it's the House floor or Senate floor, there's a lot of money that needs to be dealt with, that needs to go away, because Montana will run red ink if we don't get rid of some of this stuff.
Interesting. Well, that's why, you know, frankly, if the income tax relief and the property tax relief is front-loaded, then those numbers are already calculated, and because otherwise they think, oh, well, we got all this money to spend, and then it's just so easy for people to go ahead and spend it. All right, Speaker of the House, Brandon Lehr, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here on the show, but it's long enough to go refill your cup of coffee if you need to refill coffee or anything like that. We'll wrap up the hour. It's a fast few minutes here right after this with the Speaker.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
China's going to realize that they're going to want access to American markets, and they're going to want to make a deal. The only question is how deeply they paint themselves into a corner before that moment finally dawns on them. And in the meantime, I think the most critical thing that the president can do and his administration can do and his economic team can do is to get with those 130 countries and sign deal after deal after deal, and Americans will be able to create a new normal, is that you don't no longer get to rip off the United States, take advantage of us, and frankly abuse the American consumer and American workers and their country in general. And I think everybody in the end will be better off, and they'll adjust to the new normal. It just takes a while for people to wrap their minds and heads around a new idea.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless that comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Stevie Nicks is hitting the road, announcing a new solo tour. It begins August 12th in Massachusetts, making stops in Minnesota, Ohio, South Carolina, Florida, Arizona, Oklahoma, and more. Just days before her kickoff performance, Nicks will play MetLife Stadium in New Jersey with Billy Joel. The national tour of the Broadway revival of The Who's Tommy has been delayed by a year. The new launch date for the tour is fall 2026. The Who's Tommy features music and lyrics by Pete Townsend of The Who and a book by Townsend and Des Makinoff, with the two updating their original 1993 Broadway staging that played 900 performances. No reason was given for the delay, and casting has not yet been announced. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me throw it right back to Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage. You know, I've thrown a few topics his direction, but Mr. Speaker, what do you want to talk about? What are some bills that you're hoping to get across the finish line here before the session wraps up here, maybe within just a few to several days?
Yeah. Hopefully we're, you know, done here in the next couple of weeks. I guess talking about some of the stuff that we have gotten through, we finally pushed all of our NEPA package through, our, you know, kind of our, response to the HELB decision. All of the bills have now passed, both chambers, and, we'll be heading to the governor's desk for signature here right quick. Senate Bill 117 by, Senator Zolnikoff, which is, going to kind of limit local governments on how much they can increase their, property taxes and how much they can increase their budgets, year on year. So that's going to be, you know, major structural change there. A bill of mine, House Bill 676, to where the state landlord, it passed the House and, with some Senate amendments on it, and it passed the House, and that one is going to make it to where the landlord can't steal any private water rights from citizens that are using them on state land. So those are some of the big bills we've passed here recently, I'm looking forward to getting them signed by the governor.
Yeah, all right. Well, good to hear across the board. Let me see if we can sneak in a quick phone call here from a listener. Kat in Kalispell, did you have a quick question or comment?
I do. As far as property taxes go, it would behoove the government to make it so that your property taxes should be based on what you bought your home for. And I know Aaron and other people have already said that in the past, but it needs to be repeated numerous times until they get it. Because I know people that are retired having to go back to work because their property taxes, are more than their original mortgage. And just because people moved in from out of state with deep pockets doesn't mean the people that are still living here that chose not to sell can afford it, the unfair, inflation rate on people's homes.
Yeah, well said across the board. And that's been a problem for decades. I remember it being a problem in the 1990s when I was a kid, right? You hear about people being property taxed out of their homes. Kat and Kalispell, thanks for the call. Speaker Lear, your thoughts?
Yeah, on that, we're charged up here with setting property tax rates, which we can lower, but then the local governments can just float their mills up, and we're in charge of assessments on homes. What the values are on homes. And we had a couple bills this session. One was to run an Olympic average to where you average your home out over the last five appraisal cycles, which across the state would have cut, roughly 15 to 20% off of your home value. And both of the second one, the Olympic average rate one, that didn't make it through the process. There again, we need 51 people to vote for it, and I don't disagree. We don't want people getting taxed out of their homes. But if all of a sudden your property values go up, it's on the local governments to reduce their spending. If they're getting more, if the houses are worth more dollars, and they need to live within their means. We're doing that up here at the state. We're trying to cut income tax revenue to the state. As the saying goes, starve the beast. I think we need to, push that on local governments too, that they need to be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Just because
that's why I know the city of Billings, there was concern that they were going to try to bust the cap on their charter so that they could do what Missoula does, which is just willy-nilly raise taxes on their constituents. But it sounds like a short-term fix was figured out, at least to dodge that bullet. But Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
You bet. Thank you, Aaron.
All right. We got open phones in the first half of the 9 o'clock hour, and then a great guest. You guys are going to love this coming up for the second half. So lots to talk about. We're going to start with Missoula and the Socialist Rally.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Take two pills and call me in the morning. If only the solution to housing affordability were as easy as doctor's advice to fighting off an ailment. At least the doctor can usually count on the human body's natural immune system to do the heavy lifting to get you back to health. In the case of housing markets in the most stressed areas of the state, market forces don't work in the same way. And in terms of affordability, the patient remains sick. Housing markets in places like Bozeman and Kalispell have changed since the COVID-induced changes in demand pushed prices and rents up dramatically. Demand is cool, population growth has throttled back, and the super high prices have done their bit as well. The supply response, particularly in new multifamily housing coming online in the rental markets, was strong, especially in the year or so before interest rates rose. But none of these things have moved the needle in getting prices and rents back down. Far from it. Better local policies would help. It's also inflation in building materials, which, it must be said, tariffs will make much worse. I'm Patrick Bach.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
KBUS.